How's it going, everybody? This is Pat Loika, and you're listening to Loika Mania, episode 21. And it's been a heck of a week as far as comics go. There's been a lot of good stuff that's come out, particularly Avengers, The Children's Crusade, Amazing Spider-Man, Thanos Imperative, New Avengers, Avengers Prime, and Thor, and the new issue of Batgirl is actually quite fantastic as well. We'll get into all that stuff in a bit. First, I want to talk about a release that came out this Tuesday, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World on Blu-ray. Now, if you have not seen the movie, I suggest this is the right time to pick it up, because this is probably one of the most probably the most well-packaged Blu-ray releases ever. For one thing, it has so much extras in it, literally dozens of hours worth of extras included in this thing. There's a making of documentaries, there are featurettes about the music, there is alternate footage and alternate edits to the film, there's some pre-production process stuff, of course, stuff about special effects, and they even include a TV safe version of the movie that removes words like ass and all that stuff. So that's actually pretty hilarious to watch. There's also some the behind the scenes production blogs that were posted on Edgar Wright's website, and there's also the Scott Pilgrim animated short that appeared on Adult Swim. There's really a lot of stuff in this thing, and of course there's also the movie, and if you're depending on when you pick it up, you might be able to pick it up with a DVD and a digital copy bundled in with the Blu-ray. It really is a fantastic deal. So if you haven't seen the movie, see it. This is the perfect chance to do it, because I'm almost sure you'll want, if you listen to this, you know me, and we're friends. You will want to own this movie, because this is probably one of my favorite movies this year. Actually, one of my top three, as of right now, alongside The Social Network and Inception. It's been a very as far as movies go. I mean, there haven't been that many standouts, but this is one of those. I mean, it's visually one of the most stunning things you could ever watch, and. And while I know this may not be for everyone, just based on the box office, you can tell it's not for everyone. Anyone at least in my generation, should be able to get into it and relate and enjoy the movie. So Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, pick it up on Blu-ray. Another Blu-ray release I wanted to pick up this week, but I haven't gotten a chance to because none of the shops, the shop I went to didn't have it, was the Superman Shazam Showcase Blu-ray. It actually contains a new Superman vs. Superman Shazam, The Return of Black Adam feature, which is I don't know how long it is, because I'm going by the length of the showcase mini movies that are included with the past few DC animated movies. In addition to that, actually speaking of the showcases, this is basically an anthology Blu-ray containing that Superman Shazam movie, and it also includes the Spectre, the Green Arrow, and Jonah Hex shorts that were in the last three DC animated Blu-ray releases. And these versions of the shorts are actually extended, so there's more footage, and basically they put you in a position where you really have to buy this now if you like those, because now you have more minutes of all that stuff. In particular, the Spectre and the Green Arrow ones were my favorites, so this is definitely worth a purchase for me. Give it a look, and there's also some stuff there, lots of cool bonus features, like Bruce Timm's, he picks episodes of various DCU cartoons containing each of the characters I mentioned earlier, where they make appearances, so that should also be fun. I really like that, actually, when it comes to the Warner animated releases. I like that they've been putting in some episodes from Bruce Timm's old DCU animated stuff, because it allows people to discover that stuff, and maybe get them to pick up the box sets, because the box sets are awesome. And Yeah, I mean, that should be it. Also, also out this week, I'm not sure if it's out on Blu-ray, I know it's out on DVD, is Secret Origin, which is a documentary about the history of DC Comics. I've been wanting to pick it up, but once again, I couldn't find it anywhere. I might have to Amazon that thing. But I was very interested in it from the beginning because they did a screening at Comic-Con this year, and they, you know, I've been hearing a lot of nice things about it. I want to check it out. I do hear they kind of pass over some of the more uglier parts of the DC Universe's history, man, but you know what? That's okay, because this is, you know, it's a celebration of 75 years at DC. I don't think you want to spend too much time on the ugliness that took place, you know, on the road to where we are now. So that's another one that I think you should look out for. If you find it, you know, give it a rental, because it looks very interesting. Has a lot of great folks in it. I hear there's some fun stuff there with regards to Death of Superman, and there's some fun stuff with regards to, you know, Batman related things. So yeah, give that a look. It's called Secret Origin. It's the history of DC Comics. And now that we're done with that, let's actually dive into some of the comics that came out this week. Avengers: The Children's Crusade number 3 by Alan Heinberg, Jim Chung, Mark Morales, and Justin Ponser was amazing this week. And, you know, we pick up where we left off last issue. The Maximoffs and the Young Avengers are having an argument as to what to do. They discovered a Doombot, you know, posing as Wanda in Transia. And they're trying to figure out what their next course of action should be. Of course, with both Quicksilver and Magneto there, and judging by how these two are not really in the best of terms, there's going to be some conflict, and it's basically becoming, you know, it's becoming a bit of you know, more of the usual when it comes to these two, but at least more subdued. I think both men have kind of grown a bit since the last time they've encountered each other, so there's that, and there's a nice scene with Hulkling and Wiccan and Quicksilver. We're basically Hulkling, you know, this is a minor spoiler, but I think you can figure this out on your own. I mean, you can figure it out without me. But there's a scene where, you know, Hulkling basically says, you know, he was willing to let Teddy Wiccan, you know, reunite with his alleged family because He put Wiccan through the Kree Skrull jamboree that was his family reunion, which was in the last story arc of the then ongoing Young Avengers book. And then he, of course, the Maximoff family is probably the most dramatic family in the Marvel universe, and they're much worse. So yeah, he basically expresses his dislike for what's going on because of the involvement of his family, and it's funny because it's true. You know, the Maximoffs are probably the most dysfunctional family in the Marvel Universe, and they tend to really, when they screw people's lives up, they really screw people's lives up. And look at how screwed up all of them are. You know, it's very interesting drama, and I do like the fact that Alan Heinberg has not forgotten everything that's gone on in the last few years. Of course, there are some things that I'm kind of questioning, but I figure, you know, it's all a matter of, you know, where they can shuffle this timeline-wise when it's all done. Because a certain character appears here that has appeared in Avengers, but the way he's appeared here and the way he's appeared there is completely different. You know, I guess there is some difference, but it's fairly alike. There is still some enmity with this character and the main cast that he meets with. But again, you'll see it when you read it. I don't want to spoil it for you. There is a very, very cool moment here. My favorite moment actually involves Cap and Wolverine getting into basically Wolverine says something out of line. Cap puts him in his place. That is one of my favorite scenes from this thing. It just shows you how badass Cap is, and at the same time, you just want to wonder what Wolverine is up to now, because Wolverine, when he sets on mind on something, he'll get to it. Of course, the cliffhanger ending on this thing was also really, really good, and lets you wonder, you know, makes you really wish that this came out weekly instead of bi-monthly. But, you know, it looks amazing. It's definitely worth the wait. Jim Chung and Mark Morales, man, those guys, when they create comic books, it's magic. Seriously. Pick this up again. It's Avengers: The Children's Crusade, issue 3. Issues 1 and 2 are still available out there, so you can look for that, and you will thank me for recommending this to you. Next is Amazing Spider-Man number 648, the first chapter of Big Time, by Dan Slott, Humberto Ramos, Carlos Cuevas, and Edgar Delgado. And it is really cool to see this book, because this book is... they've been building up to this for some time. We're finally over, we're done with Brand New Day. And I never had a problem with Brand New Day, actually. I thought that was a fun little status quo. But now that we kind of went through that and we reestablished Peter in his own world, it's nice to see him... he kind of mixes it up a bit here, because, for one thing, he does some Avengers stuff in this book. He does some... And then he does, of course, so his civilian life is also touched upon. And also, we get to see Peter be the big brain here because of a couple of things he does. Again, I'm not going to ruin anything for you. There's a lot of cameos here from Peter's supporting cast, everyone from the Black Cat to Mary Jane and the former Bugle folks. There's a lot of good stuff. And... I'm seriously very happy to read this book. It really filled me with joy to read this book, because it's so much fun. Art by Humberto Ramos and Carlos Cuevas is just amazing. It's probably some of the best stuff they've ever done. I know their art is not everyone's cup of tea, but you know what? It's part of what makes the book so great. It feels so alive. You know, it feels really good to read this book. And we get to see all kinds of villains show up here. We see the introduction of a new iteration of a classic Spidey villain team. We also have a cameo from characters we haven't seen in Spidey books in a while. Of course, the big bad that we see at the end also is awesome, because we haven't seen that particular character in, forever. So... I'm very happy to be picking up Big Time. I'm very happy to read Amazing Spider-Man. God, I can't wait for this thing to keep. I can't wait for the next issue. It's bi-weekly, apparently. So this is it's a good deal. And this first issue is $3.99, but there's like over 40 pages worth of content in this thing. So pick it up. It's a bargain. So do it. Next is a bit of a bummer, actually. The Thanos Imperative number 6 by Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, and illustrated by Miguel Sepulveda. Great cover by Alexei Bricklot of Star-Lord and Nova. And, of course, we deal with the Cancerverse problem that first came out during the end of War of Kings, and, became much worse during Realm of Kings. Thanos... Well, he does his thing here as well. He is the avatar of death, and he's in a universe where death has been conquered. And his presence there does not bode well for anyone. So Thanos is up to his old tricks, he's basically been trying to die for the last couple issues, because he has been resurrected, and he's in a point where he can't go back. He can't die. And he's trying to get in good graces with death so he could die. But it hasn't been working out too well for him. And, of course, this just pisses him off. And this leads to a very, very sad ending in the book. I don't know what to make of the ending, to be honest. I was actually very sad when I got to that last page. Because that means those two books that this series preempted will not be returning. At least not in the form that we know. At least nothing has been announced as of yet, so we don't know. So I was very saddened to see that. There is also an opening for the characters that we lose to come back. But it's... Man, I don't know. I love those cosmic books, I love Nova, I love Guardians of the Galaxy, and the fact that those two books aren't coming back, especially after what happened here... It's just... Well, it saddens me. It really saddens me. On the bright side, though, this is a very, very satisfying conclusion to the story. It makes a lot of sense as to what's been going on. Man, all the cosmic characters have really gone through a lot in this particular book. Everyone from Drax to Phyla Vale, and of course, don't even get me started with Adam Warlock. It's been a hell of a ride the last couple of years, especially Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning's cosmic stories have been leading up to this, and it certainly didn't disappoint. I can't wait to see what they do next. I mean, there is an aftermath issue, and maybe we'll get more insight as to what's going to be the new status quo in the cosmic area of the Marvel Universe. And it's still kind of it's still kind of jarring, to not have those books anymore. Then those books lasted for quite a bit, considering how Marvel has been cancel happy with their new series lately. So again, this could be leading up to something else, but in the meantime, though, I'm pretty bummed we won't be getting Guardians and Nova back. Great story, though. Fantastic story. Kudos to Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning. And thank you for all the years of these amazing cosmic comic books. Kind of take a break from the Marvel stuff. I know I bought a lot of Marvel stuff this week, but you know what? There's a lot of good Marvel stuff this week, so I shouldn't be apologizing for that. Picked up Batgirl number 16 by Brian Miller and Dustin Nguyen. And that has been a phenomenal book. And I'll be honest here, I like Dustin Nguyen and all, but for some reason, it doesn't feel right without Lee Garbett illustrating this book, because Lee Garbett has been probably the most associated artist of this book now, because of the way he started the run. I thought he was brilliant, and I thought he was just phenomenal. And it saddens me that he had to leave the book, but I know Dustin is quite a capable artist, and I actually love Dustin's work. I mean, Wildcats 3.0 in particular was one of my favorite books of the decade, and he was the illustrator on that. I'm just sad because, like I said, I associate this book with Lee Garbett and his style, and it's sad, and he's just not doing it anymore. At any rate, this is a great issue for the new artist. There's a really cool 3-page sequence here, which is probably my favorite bit from this series so far. That it's kind of telling you what has been going on in the Bat Universe using Dustin's very I guess it's kind of like a super deformed art style that he uses. He did a couple of, Gotham in a Marvel print with this style. And it's absolutely cool to see it in the actual comics. So there's that. Yeah, Batgirl number 16. Batgirl is a phenomenal book. It's there's really nothing else I can say. I mean, Brian Miller has always been he's always been on, So I have no problems keeping up with this book, even with Dustin and even without Lee Garbett. So it's all good. Next up we have Thor number 617. Actually, I'm gonna use Thor for the last book because that is a happy book. We'll, before we go to that, we'll do New Avengers number 6 real quickly. It's by Brian Michael Bendis, Stuart Immonen, Wade Von Grobadger, and Laura Martin. This is I've said it before, I will say it again. Stuart Immonen is the best storyteller in comics, best illustrator bar none in comics, because man, the type of stuff he does in this book is just amazing. And we left off last issue with all of the magic users present, endowing Wolverine of all people with their powers, so he could fight for them in the mystical plane. And there is some really, really cool stuff here with Wolverine using magic powers and going up against sorcery that's bigger than him. And I love those sequences. I love the way they're illustrated, laid out, and colored. And then in contrast, you see what's going on in the real world, and it's very, it's pretty screwed up right now, and the where they are. It's been a hell of a first arc. I mean, who would have thought that you could put these kind of street-level characters together as a team and turn them into Avengers and then have them facing magical threats? And it has been amazing so far because of all the actual, you know, magic characters we got involved in this thing, like Dr. Voodoo, Dr. Strange, and Damon Hellstrom. And Brian Bendis' Damon Hellstrom in particular is probably one of my favorite renditions of the character ever, to the point where I would like to see a series starring him by Brian. There's a lot of cool stuff that happens here. And of course, there's a very sad development at the end, which, again, I do not spoil. Saddens me to see that, but you can kind of see if you've been reading the books, you know, for a while. They've been building up this character for a while, and you know, this leaves the Marvel Universe, at least the mystical side, in a very screwed up place because there is a missing component now. And again, you know, they weren't kidding when someone dies or something serious happens in this issue, and it's it's kind of a bummer. just like the last Marvel book, The Thanos Imperative, that I talked about, there is some really sad stuff that happens here, but at the same time, it's a great first issue, great introduction for this new team of Avengers. And my favorite bit has to be what happens in the last page with Damon Hellstrom, of course, where he just went off. You know, he goes on a rant in front of all these people, and the speech he tells people, you know, was very cool. It was one of those things that you rarely see in comics, because you know how people live in the Marvel, the DC universe, whatever, and people tend to take for granted that the heroes that they have and how, you know, these people are saving their lives day in and day out. And Hellstrom reminds them that at the end, and you know, it's a very cool speech. I think a lot of people will dig. Of course, they still, and in addition to the main story, you still have the oral history of Earth's Mightiest Heroes as a bonus feature on this book. And it's also, you know, it's really good stuff. If you've been digging it for the last few issues, there's even more to like here. And yeah, man, you and the New Avengers number 6, pick it up. Again, it's, if not for the story, it's probably one of the most beautiful books you could pick up and look at. And maybe you can learn a thing or two about art while reading this book, just because you can. There's so much stuff in each panel. So check that out. Finally, we're going to end this on a happy note. Thor number 617. And last couple issues, actually, we realized that. And before I get into the synopsis or the recap, this is written by Matt Fraction, illustrated by Pascal Ferry, colored by Matt Hollingsworth, and just because he is so freaking brilliant, John Workman lettered this book, and John Workman is probably the best. And if you've been reading the last few issues, you know Thor has not been pleased. He has been very sad. He misses his brother Loki. And he does something about it in this issue. In this issue, he goes to France looking for there is a child that he was looking for. Perhaps he reminded him of his brother. I'm not sure. But he looks for this kid in France, and he does something that maybe he might regret later on. In addition to that, the quantum cosmologist that has been warning the Asgardians about the Asgard's end of days coming, you know, meets with Tony Stark. Tony, of course, you know, finding out this information, realizing that this dude is not some joke, goes to Baldur and tells him what the dude's been saying. And we touch upon some stuff that's been going on with the Asgardians. We touch upon things that have been going on with Asgard, at least their proper place in the Nine Realms, and we see what's been going on. Because remember, when Asgard vacated and down on Earth, then what's going on in there? We get to see more of that, actually, and we get to see probably their first move. At any rate, you know, what happens with Thor here in the book is probably one of the happier, probably one of the more joyful things I've seen, just because it doesn't, you know, I haven't seen Thor smile in a while, and you get to see that here. That's, you know, that's kind of a spoiler, but, you know, I'm not telling you exactly what happened, so that kind of, I can kind of skirt away from that. The preview for next issue, the cover for next issue is very telling, and I wonder exactly how this character is going to get brought back, but it's kind of nice to see him again. I've been really loving Matt Fraction's run on this book so far, 3 issues in, and you know, and the book is still a joy to read. Pascal Ferry's art is just stunning. You can really tell this is the book that he was born to draw, and Matt Hollingsworth is displaying a completely different side to his color work, because he usually goes for the darker books. You know, he usually does. He colored Daredevil for a while. He colored Alias. He colored a lot of books that are somewhat darker and more, and you know, have a different palette going for it. And this is so different from that. It's such a happy book. I love it, and I can't wait for the next issue. So, Thor 617, buy this book because you won't regret it. Speaking of Thor, before I put this podcast to the end, speaking of Thor, the former writer of Thor had decided, and you know, currently writing Wonder Woman and Superman, which I have been avoiding because I have not been a fan of this writer and his antics. He decided to step away from both Superman and Wonder Woman to focus on doing OGNs. And apparently he's doing it for the betterment of the industry by taking allegedly a 75% pay cut. You know what, man? If you're not feeling what you're doing, you can just say it. I don't see the need to BS and give us that kind of reasoning, because it just makes you come across as a complete jerk. I don't know. I've never been a fan of that guy's his personality, and it's, you know, and I hate being proven right sometimes. And then here we are. I just got proven right. Yeah, he's leaving the book. Good riddance. Those books, I mean. Good riddance. I'm pleased to find out I can buy those books again. I'm also very pleased to find out that 2 very, very cool writers are taking over. Chris Roberson is taking over Superman. I loved his Cinderella stuff. I love iZombie. I'm looking forward to seeing his take on Superman. Even though he has to finish what the other guy started, I think it'll be interesting at least. Because at least it's this guy writes fun stuff. And Superman comics are supposed to be fun. So I'm all for that. And what makes me even happier is one of my favorite people in the comics industry, Phil Hester. Probably one of the nicest guys in the world. Probably one of the nicest, most talented, multi-talented people in the world is going to be taking over Wonder Woman. This guy's going to be writing one of the icons, and I'm very pleased to hear that, because, you know, if anyone deserves to be writing one of the icons in comics, it's Phil Hester. Because Phil Hester, very professional guy, very nice guy, never has anything bad to say about anyone, unlike me right now, which is kind of sad, but whatever. I'm going to take my time to do this, because I spent quite a bit of time ranting about this guy, Superman, like some time back. So I'm going to say it now. I'm very happy that Phil got this gig. I'm very happy that other guy stepped away. You know what? Good luck to him with what he's doing. Because, you know what, clearly that's what he wants to do. Hopefully he doesn't take his ball and go home again in the middle of writing his next OGN. Because that seems to be what he does. And hopefully he remembers to finish the 12 too. I know he's got 2 issues. He's finished like another issue or so. But, you know, he's still got a couple more. And he needs to realize that was a prior commitment. And he needs to be a professional and finish it. And that's that. And I apologize for that mini rant. But, you know, I just had to get into it because that has been the talk of the internet for the last week. And you know what? I don't seem to be the only one who has this opinion about that person, because, you know, you reap what you sow, man. You act like a complete jerk, and you abandon your projects after committing to doing them for a year, like halfway through, and yeah, that's not going to win you any points with anyone. At any rate, congratulations again to Chris Robertson and especially to Phil Hester. Well deserved. Can't wait to read what you guys do. And I'm willing to sit through whatever's left over of that other guy's plots. May see you guys do work your magic, because at least you guys have personality. You guys have written better books than that other guy did. I prefer a lot of your stuff over his. That said, that's it for this week. Speaking of ending things, you can find me at patloika.com, patloika.com, where you'll be connected to all my social networking from there, including my Twitter, which is at patloika, and you can go to my Flickr page and check out some photos from the conventions of the past year. And there's also a link to some of my comics that I made available online, so give that a look. Also, feel free to friend me on Facebook if you'd like. And I'm, of course, Pat Loika. And, I'm all over the internet. You can find me everywhere. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, send them to theloika@gmail.com. That's spelled theloika@gmail.com. And thank you very much for listening. And I will see you next week. Take it easy.
Trembling glass and shouted, "Fuck the world!" And then you fell into.